Good afternoon. You're listening to News Talk 94.1 Local Matters. I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and today I have iconic business owners in the studio, Jeremy and Lauren Crabtree, who own Poets. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
This is so fun.
I'm so excited to have you guys here today, and kind of tell me a little bit about the feeling of owning such an iconic, not just coffee shop in this area, but like in, you know, this is the thing that like people see the Poets logo and they know it's Cookeville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, it is very fun and exciting to be part of, you know, Poets and, you know, the iconic, you know, growing up around here, you know, everyone knew what it was. And it was just, I like to refer to it as like the living room of Cookeville. You know, it's kind of a place where everyone comes and feels welcome and lots of business meetings, lots of first dates, lots of, you know, families around a table drinking coffee. And so it's fun to kind of be that for Cookeville. And yeah, it's just.
So are you from here, Jeremy? You grew up here?
Yeah, I'm actually from Livingston, Tennessee. But
to me, that seems relative. that's here-ish.
Just a shout out for Livingston.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And very separate.
And Lauren, you are not from.
I'm from Memphis.
Okay. Yes. So when was the first time you remember like knowing about Poets, Jeremy?
Well, it's funny. I in high school.
Your first date was not at Poets.
No,
was it?
No, it was not.
That would have been such a good story, though.
Yeah.
Let's rewrite.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
You know, being from Livingston in high school, I would come down and go to Poets, and so that was kind of my first introduction.
Because it's been around for what 21?
20. Well, we're not quite sure. Maybe 24 years.
Oh, okay.
Somewhere in the early 90s it opened. And so.
I'm sorry. So what was your first, you remember coming down in high school?
I remember coming down in high school and.
Did you have another first date there?
Like, no. It was just kind of like if you were in Cookeville, you know, it was like the new thing. And it's yeah. Like, hey, you got to stop by the coffee shop. And then once I got into college, ironically, my sister actually was the third owner of Poets. And so I actually worked at Poets when I was in college.
Wow.
So that was kind of where I really kind of was around it a lot. So
take me back to your growing up, you know, here in the Upper Cumberland or in Memphis. What were you guys like as kids? What do you think anything that you characteristics about yourself growing up made you want to be a business owner, Lauren?
No, I'm actually a nurse by trade.
Yeah.
And yeah, didn't really, but never really thought we'd own anything. Never thought we'd be business owners. We kind of just fell into this. But when we were young, when I was younger, other than selling rocks at the golf course down the street, now that was,
I mean, that's
a booming business.
Listen,
you know, I mean, who knew?
You got to start somewhere. So you were really literally selling rocks to
painted rocks.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'm like thinking they're like, just like, it's magic.
Sometimes golf balls that we found, but no, we really, I don't think either one of us have any really entrepreneurial.
Listen, do not underestimate the importance of a small child trying to
peddle
stuff.
That's true. That's so true.
Those are some skills
yes.
that, you know,
mm-hmm.
you need to know.
That's so true.
So you were doing, you had siblings?
Yep.
You
did this? I'm the youngest of three.
And you did this with your siblings?
Yeah.
You painted these and.
Yeah.
Do you remember making money off this at all?
Not much. I think people felt sorry for us and
yes.
would throw us a five sometimes. But other than that, not a whole lot of.
But I'm sure that first five was like.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Gosh, for sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So then you went to nursing school.
Yep. Went to nursing school in Memphis and worked as a nurse for a while, seven, eight, I don't even know, a while. Then started having my, after my third baby, I kind of stopped doing that. So.
Yeah. And what about you, Jeremy? What, growing up, Livingston, did you, were you selling painted rocks or anything like that? But
no, I don't remember. I mean, I kind of remember just always liked, I liked to be independent. I liked to kind of be creative and kind of do my own thing. That was kind of a big part of who I was. And so, you know, after college, I actually started a photography and video
yeah.
business right out of college because I didn't want
to. Did you go to Tennessee Tech?
I went to Tech. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to get a real job. And so I thought I'd start my own. And so a good friend of mine here in town, Joey Yother, me and him started a photography business for weddings and stuff. And so
Winter Tree Productions.
Winter Tree Productions. Yes. with the help of Ted McWilliams in the day. And so,
isn't he the auctioneer?
Yes,
he's my brother-in-law.
Oh, okay. Yep. Yeah.
And so I did that, and then after that year was up, I decided I needed to kind of do something. And so I actually went on Young Life staff and was on Young Life staff for 8 years. And a lot of Young Life staff is kind of self-motivated, self-starting. It's almost like you're a business owner because you're figuring out what that's going to look like in each town and where you're at. And so I really enjoyed having that open schedule of doing what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it and kind of being able to be creative and kind of create what Young Life would be in that town and stuff like that. And so
you traveled a bit for that?
I mean, I didn't. Well, traveling would be a bit strong. I moved to Memphis to do it. And then we were in Memphis. That's where we met and got married. And then we went from there to Dallas. So we were in Memphis for 4 years and Dallas for 4 years.
Okay. So you guys both were in Dallas together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then what was the decision to come back to the Upper Cumberland? They're looking at each other like who's gonna tag team.
Well, I feel like we were kind of felt like maybe it was time to step away from Young Life, and so we kind of
were you on Young Life?
No,
you were nursing.
Yeah, and we kind of thought we'll probably move back to Memphis or Nashville, Birmingham, kind of all these southern
big
cities that you know seemed so great. Never thought we'd move to Cookeville ever. I hate saying that now because I love Cookeville, but just never, that was not on
I think
our radar.
From what I understand, most people that grow up here or grow up in this area and are in their 20s, they all say that.
Totally.
I think that that's just kind of a rite of passage.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
So don't feel bad.
Okay, good.
Most people listening would probably say
I know,
something.
But it was just never, when we got married, I was like, oh, I don't know. And so, I don't know. I mean, we always say it was totally a God thing because our family knew we were looking for jobs and we just kind of were keeping our options open and just did not know what we were going to do. And we found out through the grapevine that the owners before we bought it were kind of looking for a new owner, and they kind of put it out there kind of under, you know, just told some people. So we knew that it was coming available, and we were like, I will never forget getting that phone call or him getting that phone call. And I just like laughed. I was like, what? You know, owning Poets.
So you're still in Dallas.
We're still in Dallas.
And you get a phone call.
Yes.
Poets is for sale.
Yes.
And
like, it's just, I mean, I had been there whenever we would visit, his family would go there. And so I knew of it. But
how old were you guys at the time?
Oh my gosh. I don't know this.
I was 33.
So I guess I was like 29 or 30. Yeah. I don't know.
So still pretty young.
32. Yeah. I was 32.
Yeah. So pretty young to say like, oh, let's buy this business.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Let's like finance.
Oh, yeah. Like totally grown up thing to do. And we were just didn't know how it would work. So.
And there's a little bit of pressure. I mean, maybe you didn't think about this at the time, but there's some pressure. Like if you drive something, I mean, if somebody drives Cream City into the ground, mm-hmm. that's like you're the person that killed
Cream City. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of pressure there for sure.
Right.
And then we had two children at the time. So it's like, well, we probably should be able to make money. Like, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
and so,
and during that process, there was a night when we were trying to figure out, hey, is this what we're going to do? Or are we going to move forward with this? And I stayed up really late running all the numbers the best that I knew how.
What's your degree in?
Biology.
Okay. So no
we
business.
We have no business. No. Okay.
And then she woke up the next morning. I was like, I don't think we can make enough money doing this. I don't know. And so we, you know, went back and forth. And at the time, it was the only opportunity that presented itself. And so we thought and prayed about it as best we knew how.
Mm-hmm.
And
came down here to look at houses and see, like, could we really see ourselves here? And I felt like something really shifted in my heart. And I was just like, this is what we're going to do. And
which was a hard shift because Cookeville did not have a Target.
Target, no Target. It was a very detox.
And it still does not have a Target.
It still does not.
However many years later. So
yes.
What year was this that you guys moved
this
back?
This is 2014, I think. I think so.
Yeah.
2014, yeah.
Okay.
The spring of 2014, April, we took over. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean,
really is relatively not that long ago.
No.
Five-ish years ago.
Yeah.
And so you decided to move here, even though you realize, okay, I'm going to have to mm-hmm. shop online at Target if I want to do that.
You have a great return policy.
So you guys pick up the two kids, move here, mm-hmm. and start this endeavor of owning a business.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so how was that like that first bit of time? I mean, Did you feel like you were walking into a successful business?
I was walking to a business that made money. I wasn't walking to a business that was successful.
Yeah.
I would say. And so we knew. So when I worked there in college, it was very much of like the living, like I say, the living room of Cookeville. Everyone was there. It was kind of the place to be. And so I think just through a couple different owners with like different visions, it had kind of shifted from that a little bit. And so it kind of turned, to me, it turned into a place that was a little more not open to everyone, not on purpose. It was just, you know,
a younger owner.
And so that was great. But I remember thinking, I think we can turn this back into what it was. And I think it can be something that everyone feels welcome and it can become the iconic Poets that everyone loved and knew. And so
when we come back from the commercial break, we'll hear more about their expansion through their other endeavors in Cookeville.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Thank you for joining us. We're at News Talk 94.1. This is Local Matters. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and we have Jeremy and Lauren Crabtree from Poets here with us. And we're going to, we were just talking about kind of what you were doing at the beginning to kind of get Poets back to where it was, where you felt it was originally, and turn some things around. And how long was it until you expanded to Poets South? So at the time, there was maybe three or four different local coffee shops. And one of them was Perk Up, a drive-through in town. So that's mm-hmm. probably the biggest commodity of a coffee shop is just the drive-through. So you decided, hey, let's look into taking over that location.
Yeah, it was actually just 2 years into owning Poets, a little less than two years. We kind of what we had done, how we'd rebranded and stuff was working essentially, and we were. You know, especially in the winter months, we were packed out. You couldn't find a seat in Poets. And so I knew that we needed to expand and get another location. And, you know, the drive-through was very attractive, you know, because, you know, you're always hearing moms with the kids in the car. They don't want to come in and stuff like that. And so, I just essentially approached Michael Hankins at the time, was like, hey, love what y'all are doing. We're looking at expanding. If you're ever interested in selling, I'd love to be first on the list. Because we're needing to do something else. And so
how was your feeling on this, Lauren? Were you kind of scared? Like, we want to take over another place?
Right.
Half a mile down the street?
Like two blocks away. Yeah. And I was like 9.5 months pregnant with John at the time. And so we were trying to figure all that out at the same time. I wasn't worried about it. I just thought it would be great. I knew he wanted to do something else. I felt like he was getting a little restless. It was like, he just likes, once he gets something up and running, it's like, he's like, what's next? And so I felt like this was the least kind of risky maybe move, you know, just kind of, so I was excited about it.
Yeah. She also said, if you do this, you got to get done before John arrives.
So yeah.
I had a timeline.
Right. Of a couple weeks.
Yeah. Literally. I mean, I think we finished it, and then I think he was born like 2 weeks later. So, I mean, you know, that was plenty of time.
Right.
Yeah, I think I approached him in October, and we opened as Poets South by the 1st of November.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I think.
So he was kind of ready to go anyway.
Yeah, he essentially was like, it's funny that you should email me. I've been thinking about doing something else. And so we had a few meetings, sat down, and he wanted to know, you know, with like his employees, what we'd do with their employees and things like that. And so we came up with what the deal would be, and within, you know, a few weeks we, you know, owned Perk Up, and We closed down for about 4 days to renovate and paint and kind of do some aesthetic stuff. And then, yeah, opened as Poets South just a few weeks after that.
Which you'd be surprised. I mean, it's funny because it's only, like you said, a couple blocks away. But it just meets two totally different demographics, even like moms.
Yeah.
Like we said, aren't going to park and take their kids in. So.
And also that was also a concern because obviously the square continues to get busier and busier and less parking. And so at Poets South, you have unlimited parking.
Right. So, well, especially now. Yeah. You have the whole entire Hobby Lobby parking lot.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. And then we knew, you know, we could put the building there, put a giant logo on the side. So it's almost like its own billboard and people, you know, see it and want to pull in. So.
One thing that I think is really interesting about you as a business owner, Jeremy, is that there's times where I'll pull into the drive-thru and you're literally sitting there, you know, working the drive-thru.
Right.
So do you think that that's important as an entrepreneur to be able to do all the things that you're asking your employees to do?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think any kind of good leader knows what it's like to be an employee and things like that. And so when we first took over Poets, you know, I worked 30, 35 hours behind the counter and wanted to, you know, be a barista and know what all those things are like. And so, yeah, I think it's really very important to not be a distant owner that no one really knows who you are. I just don't think, you know, we always say within Poets, as best we can in a business setting, I want it to feel somewhat like a family. Like, we're doing this together. We're here for you. You know, we're not just paying you to do this, but we want to, you know, take care of you and be there for you. And so I try to do that as best I can. And obviously Kyle plays a big role in that as being the, you know, the uncle over it all. And so
he's your big bearded guy.
Yes.
Yeah. He's our manager of it all.
Yeah.
And I feel so, like he's just like a mascot.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. He's I call him Cookville's barista.
Yes.
For sure.
But
and you never know where you're going to find him either. He could be at any location.
Right,
sure.
Right. Right. And so he's kind of our manager that manages it all. And so, but yeah, I think it's very important to be there and to talk with customers, talk with employees. And, you know, I love people. I love relationship. I love all those things. And so I want to.
Do you think people, when you're there, do you think everybody kind of knows who you are? Or do you, because you're not, it's not like you're dressed above people or like, you know, especially sometimes when you're just sitting at the table working. Right, I think sometimes people are like, oh, that guy's been here all day long taking up that table.
Yeah.
I try not to be the face of Poets. I want the face of Poets to be family, baristas, you know, the people they're interacting with on a day-to-day basis. I mean, I think by default, some people know who I am, but there's a lot of times that I'm working the register and someone will come up and ask if they can speak to the owner. You know? And I like that. You know, I don't want to be the face.
Yeah.
You know, I want kind of Poets to be the face.
Right.
Almost. And so,
I think part of that has to do with the fact that it has had some, do you know how many owners has it had in its history?
I think we're the sixth owner.
Sixth owner. Yeah. Do you think you're the sixth and last owner of Poets?
I mean, maybe. I don't foresee us ever selling it. You know, I think it's especially now a great business that we could hand down to the kids if they want to do that, and kind of something that we're always a part of. And so, yeah.
Do you let it sink in as to how, you know, being part of such an iconic part of this town, you know, this town that you didn't want to ever move back
to. Sure. Yeah.
Do you ever let that sink in, what that means?
Oh, I mean, I like have to pinch myself sometimes. I'm like, I cannot believe this is our life. I mean, without sounding cheesy, it's just like, what a blessing that we got to stumble upon this. I don't feel it was totally the Lord, but it is unbelievable. And like, I feel like we always say if we were in a big city, I feel like we would have to be trying so hard to be what everybody wants, but people love Poets because of, like he said earlier, that's where they got engaged or that's where they would study when they were in college. And there's just such like emotional attachment to that, that like we got to kind of be a part of a business that people already loved and were, you know, and so I just feel like that's such a blessing that
take
we got
that
to have that.
Legacy.
Yeah. Yeah.
In case you're just joining us, you're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and you are listening to Jeremy and Lauren Crabtree with Poets. So after you got Poets South drive-through up and running, and then you go, okay, we're good. And then what happens?
About 2 years later,
you got the itch again.
Yeah, so. We either have a baby or a business, like at least every other year. That's been the joke since we've gotten married. So.
Yeah. some of that was a little bit of an itch, but then also, you know, I wanted to expand. I feel like we were doing really well with coffee, and that's what we're known for. And I wanted to kind of try a new concept where we're a little more food-driven. I kind of saw what we were doing with food, especially at Poets, and it really catching on and people liking it. But we were always very limited in what we could do because we never had a kitchen. And so I thought, what would it be like for us to have a full kitchen and add the coffee with that? And so the space right beside World Foods, I had always loved that space for some reason. And so it came available.
Like, you loved it for a long time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I just, I
over
know.
A year. Like, it felt like a long time.
Yeah, there was just something about that space that I really liked. And it came available, but we weren't, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. So then someone rented it, but they only had it for a year. And then I jumped on board and was like, hey, I want to rent this. And so, yeah, we rented it. And so kind of when we got the, you know, finally got the lease, I was like, okay, now we got to figure out what this actual concept is going to be. I have some ideas in my head. And, you know, this, Lauren was totally on
Lauren
board.
Lauren is rolling her eyes right
now. She was totally on board with Poet South. This one, she's like, I don't know, is this...
Well, he came home, he's like, we can get it. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so now that we're doing this, it's like, I mean, the place was not very aesthetically, no offense, it was just not the most... It just had pink tile on the floor, just kind of a very
It wasn't a restaurant to go in and sit and
No.
eat.
No. Right. There was a lot to do aesthetically mm-hmm. to get where we wanted to be. So it was kind of like... All right, let's do it. And I.
So, do you feel like this was more your time, Lauren, to be able to step in and
yes.
Be a little bit more involved?
Yeah. Oh yeah, that is not his cup of tea. And we learned from
coffee.
Okay.
Come on.
And so with Poet South, we kind of learned that he lets me kind of do my thing, and like I kind of have an idea, and he. I kind of sort of have a budget. We kind of know the things. And I knew this is kind of what I wanted to feel like and be. And once that was over, literally, I was like, okay, this is it. And I don't really have much to do with Poets after that. I love, we come in some, but I like to get it to where it feels the way I would want to be in. And so that was really fun. Poets Kitchen was the one that we got to do really from scratch. The other two, we kind of had to work with. We didn't have as much money to work with. So, we kind of had to just put Band-Aids on some things. And this one was one I got to really come in and pull up the floor and paint it and put tile in. And it was just really fun. So
one thing real quick before we're almost out of time, but I want to say that as you guys were getting things rolling over there and redoing this building, I was eating at World Foods and all the World Foods employees were helping you unload a truck.
Yes.
And I love the fact that even though there's a mm-hmm. multiple local coffee shops in town, there's multiple eateries just mm-hmm. along Cedar. We're all in this together, mm-hmm. and that not competitive, but mm-hmm. you know, high tide raises all boats is a huge right. thing in this yes. Upper Cumberland. And right. I love the fact that you know World Foods and you guys are mm-hmm. right there, and they could have easily been angry about mm-hmm. that, but mm-hmm. they weren't. And yeah. so it's been really yeah, neat
they've been
to see
great.
That happen.
Yeah.
Any other last minute things that you want to tell our listeners? Yeah. Any future plans
Ooh.
At the moment to expand?
Not yet. We're riding on the Poet's Kitchen thing
yeah,
right now.
And we're still waiting. You know, we're still working to see what a lot of people still don't even know Poet's Kitchen is there.
Yeah.
We haven't pushed it real hard. We, you know, for a while we really wanted to kind of open and establish what it really is going to be, what we want it to be. And so we're kind of still in that process a little bit. But yeah, it's starting to get busier and. I don't know, you know, I have a few other little side projects that I do with
Tennessee Outfitters
yeah. and another company called Good Southerner, which is literally Southern phrases on stickers.
And products you can get at Poets,
at Poets.
Coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, all of them? All the locations?
Mainly Poets Coffee.
Okay.
It's kind of our retail spot for the yeah. most part. And so with those three businesses and the two side projects, it's keeping us pretty busy right
yeah.
now. And, you know, we're very big and not wanting to... You know, our kids are small and I want to always be at home. And so I don't want to do so much that it takes away from being with
yeah.
my family. And so
yeah.
if another business would cause that, then I don't want to, you know, and there's been interest of people approaching wanting us to do Poets outside of Cookeville in different locations, but I just didn't want to.
Shout out to Livingston.
Livingston, Sparta, even, you know, beyond yeah. Sevierville, Crossville. But I just didn't want to have something that I had to travel to, you know,
yeah.
other than two blocks away.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing what happens in the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys so much for coming in today, and go check out Poets.